Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice and nobody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, pulling back that curtain and that veil on waste, fraud, abuse, misinformation, right here on the Hostile Zone, right on your iHeart dial, your FM dial, some of your cable dials, all of social media syndicated everywhere. 57 countries, 2,300 stations and counting. Welcome to the show. I'm Eric A. Sinati. Eric Andrew Sinati.
Who?
Eric Sinati, of course.
Right here, as always. Welcome back another night. What a show tonight, folks. What a show. On the ticker of the screen, if you're watching at home, and if it's not on your TV, demand it. On the ticker is the information for the show, as always, and our guest. And reach out and look on there. The guest's book is available. Grab that link, no commission to me, write to him. The guy is a truth speaker. The guy's got, this is his 43rd book. The guy's amazing. I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm excited.
All right. 42nd.
43rd. This is 43rd, right?
This is going to be the 43rd.
Right.
Yes.
Great guy. Let's warm it up here. So this is where truth is weaponized. Speech is sacred. And silence is never an option. Tonight, we're going to take aim at the deepest vault of government secrecy. The deepest. Not just Area 51, we got to go further now. But the engineering limits of public awareness. Ooh, shocker. Public awareness. The headlines you've seen, they're not just a conspiracy. They're a confirmation, and our guest is going to tell you. Non-human biologics, I'm sure he's going to tell you. Reverse engineering craft, maybe not just Bob Lazar will tell you. Maybe our guest will tell you. Transmedium technology, maybe he'll tell you about that. How about multidimensional physics? He'll definitely tell you about that.
Wow.
This is no longer science fiction, folks. Let me be clear, though, folks. This episode is not about flying saucers. Not at all.
It's not?
No. It's about what government doesn't want you to think about the human potential, about vibrational intelligence, about dimensional awareness. I don't know, maybe those things. And the cosmic censorship of your own, our own, not just yours, our own evolution. Why are they releasing this information now? Why is it coming out? Why the sudden flood, boom, of UFO sightings and hearings in front of Congress? Why are we hearing this in Congress now? Why all of a sudden, right? All of a sudden, I'm carefully wondering why these briefings are very, very carefully worded. A lot of it are taking place in a SCIF, which is a secured contained facility for classified information, not really publicly known, not because of whatever, but maybe because they're preparing you, me, and everybody else. They're preparing us for full disclosure, full disclosure. Maybe they're managing your reaction to that full disclosure, but I digress. And joining me, as always, my co-host, the beautiful, the brilliant, the devastatingly poised co-host, Miss Bianca C. S-E-A, like the ocean.
Bianca C., that's me. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show. Miss Bianca, she's my velvet sledgehammer in heels, right? Velvet sledgehammer in heels. Tonight, she's armed with firepower. Bianca, we're not just unpacking classified files. We're confronting a war on perception.
Wow.
Perception and reality itself. Ready? Whoa. You're ready for this one.
I am. I'm always ready for this war.
Stuff, right? You got your crystals ready. You got your.
Crystals? Them placed everywhere, and I already charged them already.
Yeah. Cool. So, as always, I got to start off with the relevant, famous quote of the day: "We are not human beings having a spiritual existence. We are spiritual beings having a human existence."
Hmm.
I'm not even going to tell who the author is. There it is. First person to send me an email on that gets this guy's book for free, our guest book autograph. If you email me, who gave you that quote? We are not human beings. We're spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings with a human existence. Love it. Love it. Love it. So let's tell you about the guest. Guest introduction here. Really, it's great. Great. Let me make sure I get it really great. Our guest tonight is someone who truly is way, way, way ahead of the conversation. He's deep embedded. He knows what he's talking about. I give him a lot of credit for disclosure and opening his mouth about things that make bad problems. People make accusations about you and all kinds of stuff. I give him a lot of credit. His name is Zen Benefiel. He is a transformational coach, speaker, and a consciousness researcher. A prolific author of 40 plus, I believe 43. This is his 43rd book, he'll tell you. Yeah. And counting, he holds a master's degree in organizational management, an MBA, a master of business administration, and a doctor of divinity. So we call him doctor, but I don't think he likes to go by that. He's one of the one world in the new world. He's bold, dialect. He explores science like nobody else. Spirit and society must evolve together. This guy knows it. From aerospace connections, we can pop. We'll talk about mutual people we know, and I'm sure he'll drop some famous people he's worked with in government contractors, etc. In aerospace, cognitive science, Zen has made it his life's mission to demystify the cosmic and decode the human experience. He doesn't just study contact. He studies the contact that requires us to study. Okay. So with no further ado, let's bring him in. Let's bring him in, Carrie. Bring in Zen. Zen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Eric and Bianca. Wow, what an introduction. How can I follow that up?
That's right. That way I make sure you like me. So before we get into my basic stuff, and I had some stuff I want to ask you and talk about. I gave you a great intro. Plug us what you want people to know. Tell them the name of your book. Hold it up and all that stuff and tell them. Talk to them. I'll give you like a minute to do your thing.
Let's start there. So my latest book, my 43rd.
Hold it higher because your name is covering it.
Planetary Citizens, okay. Awakening the Heart of Humanity. And what I
link is in the ticker, folks.
So this book came out of my work with Planetary Citizens. Planetary Citizens originally was organized by Donald Keyes back in the 1970s. Donald's biography is also on the planetarycitizens.net site. Amazing man. Excuse me. He was the speechwriter for UThought when he was the executive director for the UN, just to give you an idea of.
Right, right. You're talking some legitimate people that know what they're doing. Yeah, right.
Right. Actually, Jeffrey Mishlev and his review of my book mentioned that I'm kind of a worthy successor to Don. I've been working on this for 50 years. Explaining.
You're the best of the best, that's for sure.
And I just do my best, and hopefully that fits. Initially, I had an experience as a teenager. It began as a kid. I was orphaned and adopted, began having trips to the orange cigar-shaped cloud from the time I was 8 to 10, didn't realize what they were, just couldn't wait to go back.
Right.
And then at 23, I'm getting ready to move. I grew up in a rural town in Indiana, and I was walking through a metaphysical bookstore in Muncie at the time. A book falls off the shelf in front of me, and I walk over, and there's nobody else around, right? I pick the book up, the cover up, so it's open on the floor, and it's Ruth Montgomery's Strangers Among Us. I pick it up, wow. I turn it over, and the very first paragraph that I read, paraphrased, is the most common UFO contactee experience in the late 50s and early 60s was the orange cigar-shaped cloud.
Yeah, wow. What an epiphany for you.
Wow.
What an epiphany, wow. How did that make you feel? How did you feel?
It gave me a really cool sense, right?
Didn't scare you a little bit, maybe? Like,
no.
Okay, good.
No.
Have you told anybody previously?
Did you feel like you knew it?
Experience, I have to say this honestly. In my entire experience that I have met and worked with and had communion with, if you will, many races, including reptilians and draconians and the like, I've never had a negative experience. ever. I've had experiences where I had to let go and rise to the vibratory level of the being that was presenting.
Were you nervous though?
No, I've never been nervous. It's always been like I've been dealing with family.
Quote unquote doesn't exist really, the gateway process. And I feel the movement.
I've never had to use any extras to communicate or to be available. They show up, I'm available, I pay attention.
Let me ask you a question. You made something come right to my mind. It's not even in my notes, but it came to my mind. And it's a really good question. Did you ever have dreams of flying actually in space in dreams? And you thought they were dreams, but they felt
like
you
were feeling in your mind? Dreams.
And you feel it, right? You actually feel it and don't wake up. And did you ever like come back in and fly over places in the world? Maybe before something happened?
Well, as a kid, you know, what allowed me to have those experiences on board the ship was I was nurtured into learning how to have out-of-body experiences and how to travel. I was 7 years old when I first had experience.
Did you tell anybody at that point or no? I mean, they want to just assume you're, I believe you 100%, but most people are like, yeah, whatever.
No, I was a kid, right? It was just a cool experience. What could I talk about, right?
Right.
I was highly intelligent, and that kind of set me aside already when I started talking about stuff. It was like people that, in a rural town, you know, there weren't that many smart people around, unfortunately.
Really, just a rural town, not that many smart people? Then
come on. There were some. My parents were pretty smart. Mom was a teacher. Dad was a 32nd degree mason and a tool and die maker.
32nd or 33rd? You said 32 or 33?
32nd. He was Knights Templar. He didn't go to the 33rd because he didn't
want to fight a lot. Right. I'm familiar. The Knights Templar, Scottish Rite, all that.
I did go through DMLA. I was master counselor at 15. So there was that.
And where do you hail from, brother?
Alexandria, Indiana, originally. I was born in Indianapolis, orphaned at birth, adopted at 6 weeks. You know, throughout all that as a teenager, I did sports. I ran a 4.340 in high school.
Well, I appreciate you being level on the square with us. I appreciate that 100%.
You know, the universe has no secrets. Why
start now? Right. Yeah.
So, and we're available to anyone who can see and hear. As I got older, I went into pre-med. I tested out 5 quarters, went in 6 quarter freshman. In between the first 2 quarters, I came back and I was distraught. I didn't feel like medicine was really the direction I wanted to go. And I hit my knees and I prayed to know what truth was. And I was willing to know to die for it if necessary. This was 1975. And on 11/11, the following Tuesday, this is way before
11/11
number, you know.
Right. But it's interesting, you know, that it's that day.
I know. It's synchronicities, right?
There are.
That you're going to the right path.
Yeah, I believe there's no coincidences, right? I mean, right, Bianca?
Right,
I mean,
there are none. So I hit my knees and pray, and then I come back from class on the following Tuesday afternoon, and probably there's some Moody's in the background, but I chose to listen to Journey's first album. And in between
Good choice.
Oh, yeah, it's a journey of finding your soul, right? Didn't realize at the time, I just dug the music.
Are you going to tell me some Journey song has to do with this stuff and I didn't know this all these years?
Well, yeah. In the Morning Day is the name. This voice that I've been familiar with since I was a kid asked me if I was willing to die for what I believed in. My first thought was Christ consciousness. It felt a little...
Right. I'm with you. Wow.
Well, it's a great place to start. It still felt a little empty.
It still is.
And so my next thought was cosmic consciousness, because that's what Christ had. And it felt full. So I said yes. That instant, there was a guitar riff that Neil Sean does. Sounds like a rocket ship taking off. And I get a tug from my solar plexus. I pop out of body. I turn to look at my body laying across my dorm room bed.
Wow.
And I turn back to look where I'm going. And before I can get turned around, I'm engulfed by white light. And it has this amazing sensation to it. And I started analyzing it, and I came up with effervescent, iridescent, and high-pitched. Then I realized I was thinking and that I couldn't be dead. So the impetuous teenager is like, woohoo, I can't be dead. I'm thinking, man, is there more? Right.
It's like a after-death experience, near-death experience, where you see there's something on the other side, the veil, and you know that death is not the end.
This was a near-death experience on steroids, basically.
Yeah.
Because when I asked if there was more, now I did feel the individuation and yet collective. There was a unity consciousness, if you will, in that white light. And yet I still felt a part of it and still felt individuated. So that was really cool. But when I asked the question, is there more? I felt a movement and I'm now in an indigo background with points of light surrounding me. I know those points of light are points of consciousness, whether in body or not. I'm not sure because I know I'm not. I have the sense that they are somehow. And then the voice.
And again, how old were you at this time?
18. And so the voice picks back up at that time and says, these are those that you're to work with in order to facilitate a new world order. It will happen in your lifetime. Know this to be true. Your path will be full of trials and tribulations. Have faith that everything you need will be there at its appointed time. Trust and allow. And at the on the W, I felt another rush of energy. I come back into my body with a gulp of air. And I instantly am aware that we are all, and I want you to hear this, that we are all cosmic consciousness condensed into form, just unaware.
I like it. Let me get into my prescriptive because we're going to hit it all for you. I got some things I want to hit that I know you're going to like. I don't want you to go on too much because you're going to answer a lot of that anyway. So again, I want to ask you, most Americans still think Area 51 is a desert punchline, right? But insiders, some of which we both know, and you may say on air if you like, who some of the people we both know, have been talking and confirming this for many years, that advanced craft, non-human entities, and technology for decades beyond what we know as true science. So what is really, your opinion, what is really buried in the Nevada desert? In your opinion, and obviously I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want you to, I just want your opinion.
I won't get in trouble. There's no such thing. What I do know, I'm going to get in trouble with a capital T, right? You're in trouble. So what I do know is that there is this intelligence that we're dealing with in multiple ways through multiple races, and we are so far below them that we can't even handle the technology that we're gifted.
And comprehend it.
We can't fly the machines because they're a bioengineered device. And we don't understand that. And so you hear these stories about people getting scorched by these ships that are, wobbling through the sky.
Well, who touches them, right?
Right.
How many people touched stuff and poured water on things and did dumb things? Right. It's stupid.
Yeah. Those kinds of things to me. So that's the military industrial complex trying to figure out how to manage technology in order to better manage the resources on the planet for their purposes. And dominate the resources and control of humanity in order to do so.
Right, now, since we're sucking out all the resources we have on our planet, I guess we're getting to a point where we might have to disclose because we might have to look for others elsewhere.
Well, which is what happened with Maldek and why we now have an asteroid belt instead of planet.
Is Pluto a planet again now? I mean, I know they tossed that one around. I threw that out there.
We don't know what humans are going to do. They constantly just mesmerize me at some of the silly things that they think and do because of the belief systems that they carry that need to just be discarded. There's such a thing known as a recursive function. And that was a term that was brought out in computer world, right? Or in the computer world.
If you told somebody in the Stone Age that we were going to even just fly an airplane with a propeller, that the Wright brothers were going to go, not even a couple hundred feet. If you told a Stone Age guy that, they'd think you were insane that people were going to do that. So the stuff you're saying makes a lot of sense.
And, and actually have someone confirm, we would be not seen well and probably... not
I think Bianca's got something for you too. Bianca's itching, jumping at the bit here.
Isn't it strange Isn't it strange how silence turned into spin overnight, and suddenly it's not if there's contact, it's how they'll narrate it without triggering panic or responsibility.
You're wording yourself carefully too.
Yeah.
You worried about getting in trouble there. It's a good question though. Good question.
Yeah, it's a great question. What I think I heard you say was that there is this concern for how silence is being spun, because as we all have heard throughout millennia, mm-hmm. in the silence is the voice of being.
Right.
Silence is also the voice of the uneducated almost, because to stay silent means you're not opening your brain up. You need to be vocal. You need to speak. Listen, obviously, but you need to speak up too and teach and help others.
Yes, when you can no longer be silent because it's welling up inside of you and you have to speak. Most of the time, people speak just to want to be heard because they think they got something to offer. They want to, be pedestalized. And I get that. That's ego-driven. Everybody's got one. In the, I did partnering workshops for building road and bridge construction for a number of years. And it's all the catchphrase that I use is there's no ego without we go.
Right. No I in team, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And, Aurobindo talks about the supra ego.
Yep. I like that. Super ego. You're talking about Freud. You're going to the next level.
We move from the lowercase self to the uppercase self. This is what Urban Laszlo has been about for probably 60 of his 90 some odd years. And
who did you say? Maslow?
Dr. Urban Laszlo.
Laszlo, okay. Because I was thinking when you said Freud, from you, you did this, the pun off of Freud, the super elevated ego. You made me think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs for a minute. Right. Maybe one intellect to the next. So next segment here, UFOs or UAPs? What's the name? So here it is. Ready? Let's call it what it is. It's a rebranding, man. It's a rebranding. UFOs are now becoming UAPs to resist public perception, but I guess tech just didn't change. Who knows? The threat and narrative of what we've done is what? Who knows? But what are they really trying to do? Rename the craft or rename the system is where I wanted to go with that, Zen.
There's a certain opportunity for obfuscation, right? The more you can hide something with the changing of terms and things like that, you can redress it, you can rebrand it, you can present it a different way. The UAP has been better for the military because it puts a little more definition on the undefinable, if you will.
It makes it sound nicer too, right? That sounds more professional.
Somewhat,
It's not a tinfoil hat person, right? As people would say.
Well, but yeah, they want to sound smart, which is cool. They ought to sound smart, right? Whether they are or not, it's a different story.
That's a whole different, yeah.
Right. The way that it's being addressed. Steve Bassett and I have known Steve for, 25 years. And you're probably aware of him too. He's head of paradigm research and one of the lobbyists.
Big name.
And help put the original mock congressional Congress together to investigate, which is what spurred all this. Now, Stephen Greer helped too. I've known Stephen.
Stephen Greer, Dr. Yeah. Stephen Greer, Jeremy Corbell, all these people, George Knapp.
Yeah, and
maybe not scientifically, but I mean, getting the name out there with some legitimacy is what I mean.
Yeah, and quite honestly, some people like to manipulate others in order to make a buck, because that's the way the world has been. And this, there's been an agenda that's been in place for quite some time of profit over people and planet. And we're flipping that agenda now to people and planet over profit. It doesn't do away with profit. It just puts it in a different perspective.
Right.
Like being a planetary citizen, it's more about who you are connected to everything, as opposed to believing that you're separate and just trying to carve your own niche out and get whatever you can.
Right.
Big difference. Right. So as you get older, hopefully, and gain more wisdom, you realize that there's basically five different aspects of human engagement. There's body, mind, spirit, planet, and cosmos, right? We have those different layers of our being. And as you begin to explore the truth seeker, let's say, that's unwilling to listen to the outer world and only wants to find things on their own and rely on their own direct experience and their ability to ask better questions.
Right.
Right.
Interesting. The moment they changed the letters, I knew.
You mean a UAP to UFO?
Yes.
Or UFO to UAP. Okay.
I knew we were in an information war. This isn't about aerial phenomena. It's about mental programming. Keep people focused on the light.
Well, for millennia, whether it's been religion, UFOs, war machine, we've always been pitted against each other. We've always, there have been those who have attempted, third party sell, if you will, where there's a third party that's affecting the first two to try to get them to war among each other.
Isn't that how money's made for a lot of people?
Religion is the same way. There's, I believe, a fictitious enemy in Satan, right? Satan comes from the Greek word Thetan, T-H-E-T-A-N. It means thinker.
We're going to get into a whole Galileo conversation if you want to, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because I got some planned ideas for you.
Well,
you made me think of the Galileo argument a long time ago.
You're willing.
Da Vinci's artwork.
Yeah. When you're willing to let go of everything and assume nothing and ask questions and wait for answers, whether it comes internally, whether it comes in direct experience, in the physical world, in the non-local or non-linear space, right? We think things are linear. They're not. Nothing is linear.
No, yeah. Right? It's like people didn't realize 3D existed until they put 3D glasses on. And now we got, there's a whole other thing, which is leading into the next segment for you. Ready? Segment three. Dimensional intelligence. Are we looking in the wrong direction? So with that, 10, everyone is staring at the sky. What you've said, the truth might be here, operating on different frequencies, layers of space and time, you said. So I ask you, since you believe that, and I'm with you on that, I'm not contradicting by any means. I'm going to ask you, are we dealing with extraterrestrials or extra-dimensional intelligences, or both?
I would say intra-dimensional, and we cannot...
Okay. Explain that for the folks, because not everybody's at your intellect level, so remember that.
let me say this. What I do know is that we cannot think our way through a system built on vibration. We have to sense our way through. Uh-huh. Our bodies, as well as our minds, are sensory devices. There's an ancient Indian philosophy of the three brain system, the gut, the heart, and the head. First brain's the gut, second brain's the heart, third brain's the head, and we process in that order.
That's an old shaman
thing. No, we don't process in that order. We think shit and we shove it through our body and wonder why we get sick.
Yep. And I think kind of like where you're going, and Bianca's chomping at the bit for a second, but I want to plug one point because you said that it was very key. What you just said was think it and push it down. Children see, like you did at 7, are more open because they're not told that they shouldn't hear or see. And then after that, they're told, no, that's wrong. Don't believe that. I'm going to make one statement, and I don't want to go off on it because she's chomping to move forward. But there's a great study that CIA did, and it was where they put all CIA people in a room, and they had one person and didn't tell them all. And you probably know the study. They're all in the room were CIA except for the one guy, maybe you, Zen, right, or me, right? And we don't know that everybody else is CIA. And they tell it. Everybody's in the room thinking they're there for something, whatever, some BS nonsense. And they tell them that the sky is green today. And you're the last one to go, the non-CIA person. Everybody else is like, when they ask the question, what's the sky today? They may ask 20 questions in between, but one of them is an oddball answer. When you get to the last guy, me or you, that's not part of that team, right? At that time, whatever. Not saying we were not, right? But they always will say green, even though we all know it's really blue. Because
nobody wants to argue outside the box because they don't want to look like the crazy one. They don't want to look like the loon. They don't want to look like delusional, the narcissist, the fabricator, or whatever. And I just love that.
Heard about that.
You never heard that study? Oh, look it up.
I've heard of that. But I don't care. For me,
I hope I just didn't drop something. Maybe Carrie marked the time on that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that one. So jump into Bianca, move right in. Yeah, just in case.
You know, people want to be part of something and they will sublimate their own truth to appease a group think.
Group think. Think. Exactly. That's the concept. So Bianca, where you
at? Yeah. And that's what terrifies the establishment because the moment this goes dimensional,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It leaves.
Dimensional. Yeah. Dimensional. Yeah. Right.
It leaves the jurisdiction of missiles and math.
We can't shoot it down, right?
I know. You can't regulate vibration. You can't weaponize awareness.
Well, so consider, I agree but disagree. I think you're going to weaponize awareness, kind of, maybe. I think, but he's going to, I don't know. What do you think?
No, you know, this is one of the things that they're trying to shove down our throats, that there's bad aliens. There aren't.
That's what Stephen Greer says, too, right? That they're not.
The things that they do, you have to have an advanced level of consciousness of which there can be no malevolence in. It's just impossible.
Right. But see, the part, how do you get there?
Human, we're nasty to each other.
We are terrible.
Right? Yeah.
Right. And nobody likes that. Regular humans don't like that when we go.
We're told, love one another as you love yourself. Well, and we go around killing each other. Right. So we must not love ourselves very much right now.
Right. Well, we go home and know we did wrong. Right.
Yeah. Here's the difference. We choose to have, of those 70,000 thoughts a day that we have, according to the neuroscientists, most of those are self-deprecating. So we beat up on ourselves all the time because this is what we get from the outer world. You know, people still
right.
I love it.
And you can't do that. Oh, that's not appropriate. You know,
that
whatever.
That was really good answer. Profound, quite profound, Zen.
So in that process, then, there's this ability to ask better questions, pay attention to what's going on inside. Because this is, you know, ancient traditions, the Vedas, written in Sanskrit over 15,000 years ago, basically they say we're all divine threads incarnate, connected to source, capable of God consciousness. Well, what's that mean? That means we're capable of being connected. And
well, we know this, didn't we? What was that study where they took a cell from a human being and took the cell and brought it somewhere else? That's another study. I'm sure we're going into like this, but there's a study where they took a cell and they touched the person and the cell responded to the person and they weren't even in the body anymore, the cell. It was in a petri dish somewhere else.
There's all kinds of experiments on quantum entanglement.
Yep, entanglement.
And those kind of spooky action at a distance, right?
Yep.
Especially when it's up close and personal.
Honestly. I love it too. Love it too. Mm. We've had it happen on set here.
We have those.
We had the same issue, by the way. A book come off the shelf on set,
on air,
off the shelf, and flew across the room. It was insane, just like you did with your book. It was when you said that, I was like, "Wow!" Ooh. And it was actually a pivotal book for us as well that came off. Out of all the books that could have come off.
So these things are all experienceable. We just choose to not believe that they are. We profess.
And they tell us they're not. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And that. And yet when it shows up on our face, it gets kind of spooky.
The people come out and they have to lie and make it so you definitely know. And then they want to outcast you like they do certain people and destroy you. So you're afraid to even come out and say anything more. And then kind of like that study I said where one person doesn't want to say what's different.
I have something interesting to say.
Okay, jump in, Bianca. She has something interesting.
Just a second.
I've never said this to anybody, but do you ever feel like when you're making a step that you feel like you're falling for a moment?
Ooh, you've never even told that to me.
No.
There we go. Revelation here.
There are, in some stages of meditation, it feels like you drop into another level. That does occur.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Wow.
That is cool, man.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels that way.
That's cool. that is really cool, man. You ready? I'm going to move into our next segment. Unless if you want something to add to that, then, or I'm going to move forward. You're going to like the next one too.
Well, I had something for a moment.
Keep going.
I don't remember what it was right now. It seemed important at the moment, but
okay. Jump in when if you get it. Fire
the moment is gone.
Fire. I hear that one. That happens to me all the time. Fired out if it happens. There we go. Disclosure or distraction. Right. So with that said, disclosure or distraction, nothing leaks at the federal level, right? Without a motive. We know that one, right, bro? We know that one. But why now? Why this one? Why today? Why now? What happened? Why all of a sudden let the world peek just a little bit behind the veil of what's going on in the world? Why now? Why now, Zen? Why today?
Well, because it funds the defense budget.
You think so? The whole, honestly, even, but they're all top anywhere in the sky.
What, a $7 trillion defense budget. And what do you think the United States runs off of?
Yeah, obviously war. Yeah. I mean, right? We never, anytime, yeah, we're flourish.
Companies, right? Yeah. Those are all defense contractors, right?
We named a few previously before we got on here. Yeah.
How many people, when you're getting a defense contract, how many mouths does that feed? Not just the company that gets.
And it's subcontractors.
You got subcontractors, you got vendors, you got suppliers, yep. You know, so there's a complete economy.
And it's all on, it's all USAP, unrecognized special access program. So they don't acknowledge them. They're on an unacknowledged black budget. You know what I mean? Money gotten from God knows where, from God knows who.
$7 million in defense, right? Or yeah. $7 trillion. It may be less than that. I may be
No, you're about accurate, I would say. Maybe after Doge, it's a little different, but
yeah. That's kind of, I love how that worked out. Finding,
it's kind of weird how that kind of spun around.
And it seems to me, I don't know the man, but just from an outsider's view as to what's attempting to be done, there's a lot of stuff that's being brought to the surface. And
which man are you talking about, Elon, or are you talking about President Trump?
I'm talking about both of them. Right. They're trying to do the right things. They may disagree on exactly how to do it, but they're really trying to do the right things and
I agree.
Maintain integrity in the process for the American people.
Nobody likes change. So, yeah, change is tough.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things as a facilitator for the partnering workshops, one of them was a centralized processing center for unaccompanied alien youth in McAllen, Texas. In 2014, there were 52,000 alien youth, 18 and under, that came through there.
Right.
And all but 2,000 of them were absorbed by our social system.
I don't even want to know what the other one they end up. Those are the ones they actually deported?
The 2,000 are the ne'er-do-wells that they were able to sift out. Yeah.
Right. The MS-13 people that maybe didn't actually got netted in the beginning.
The thing is, we brought them in. We allowed them in. You know, we are caretakers or our brothers and sisters, right? And the social system.
But without borders, my friend, there is no country. Although I believe in a universe, I believe in all that, but we have to have a border. We have to have some kind of rule of law.
No, we don't.
You don't agree? Okay, agree to disagree.
Are there borders in space?
No.
Atmospheric borders.
Is the Earth one sphere?
No. True on that one. I mean, we have separate, we have an atmosphere, a stratosphere, so we have plenty of things going on.
Is the Earth one solid sphere?
I mean, the Earth itself, yes, but I mean, we're orbiting with several.
Let me ask another question. Okay. Is the Earth made up of Earth and water?
So yes.
One planet. No boundaries.
Oh, I see. I was thinking space at this point. You're thinking Earth. I was already in space at this point. We're still on planet Earth. Yes, we are. Yes. We are all humans. We are humans.
It's a game.
As Carl Sagan would say, we're all space dust.
These are things that are important. What we're being told, what all of the contactees that I'm aware of, myself included, the experiencers that have had lifelong contact, we're all being taught that we've got to learn to get along, work as one, or we're not going to be able to unite with the rest of the universe and all of the different beings because they've already advanced that. We are a civilization that's in process of developing. If you look at the benchmarks of our development, we have certain key times that change. Development of the civilizations, there are patterns, there are processes, there are evolutionary leaps that take place that sometimes, like with the missing link, right, we don't really know what happened then. There's all kinds of conjecture. We don't really have facts to know. Now, right now, we know that there are multiple calendars that have aligned in the same area that are saying the same thing, from the Egyptian, the Sumerian, the Hindu, the Mayan, the Aztec. They're all looking at this period of
time. Indians.
And they're all looking at this period of time in the transition of the consciousness of humanity, right? From being separate to being interconnected. In the advent of the Mayan calendar, which has had some real traction for a while, and everybody was, oh, 2012. And Jose Arguelles became a good friend of mine. I met him at the same event at 97 that I met Edgar Mitchell and Stephen Greer initially, and Steve Bassett too. So this transition, according to the Mayan calendar, there was an upswing in consciousness and awareness from that began in 1987 in August. It's called the harmonic convergence. From that time to the solstice of 2012, this raise of consciousness and awareness, and you can see, you can look at the history in the books and the CDs and the movies and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You'll see it. It was almost parallel with the information curve, right? So 2012 happens. Then what?
Okay. Right? Yeah.
So we have this awareness and this consciousness now. Now what? Okay. Right. So we are it. We carry that subtle shift in our own vibratory rate everywhere we go. Now, do you think en masse with many others who have experienced a similar subtle shift, what's that going to do to the rest of the world? It's going to bring things that don't fit to the surface. What happened since 2012? Look at all the crap that's come to the surface.
I was hoping you'd go there. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
Including COVID. Now, what did COVID do? Well, for one, it gave the guys that are in charge of the system a chance to test what they could do in controlling the world. And they were effective for the most part. Right. However, falsified that happened, as we know now, it still happened. Now, what happened also was that in the process of the obsession on self-hygiene and sequestration, behavior modification. That's a psychology thing, right?
Yeah, so conditioning. Yeah, conditioning.
The behavior modification went inward for some, and it got them to self-examine. That's where the light went on.
That's the enlightening, you're saying.
Right?
That's the enlightening, you think?
That's where the light went on in people who started to self-examine deeper. Who am I? Why am I here? What can I do? What am I willing to do? What am I willing not to do? All of
good
those
point.
Things. Core level internal value systems.
Right. You question everything. Right. Yeah.
Right. Wow. So
that's see everything different. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, and you're really good at that. That's a very good point. Very, very good point. The whole world has changed at that point.
Absolutely. Really,
that was great.
Really
yeah.
Did.
Absolutely.
Really, and like that
any drop in the ocean, it takes a while for those ripples to hit the shore. So when those happen, these are waves. It's like waveforms, right? That we get into hyperdimensional. I had an interview with a quantum biologist the other day. That
quantum biologist? I've heard of quantum physics. Okay.
That combines quantum physics and biology and has figured out how to unlock the hydrogen ring and release light. And he's been studying proton tunneling for a number of years. And he also has recognized that hydrogen is possibly the conduit to consciousness.
Can I ask you questions then?
Yeah.
Right on your spear, CERN in Switzerland.
Okay, so I went to this is funny. You'll love this story. So you're familiar with Lawrence Krauss?
Yes.
Okay, so he's a professor at ASU, which is just north of me. One of his TAs came to a science cafe in Chandler, which is where I live, to talk about the God participle. God particle, sorry. The God participle is one of my books.
How do you pronounce the name of what it's really called, since you're...
it's boson.
Right? Okay, cool. Higgs, say it one more time.
Higgs hyphen boson.
Thank you.
Higgs hyphen boson. Some say boson.
Yeah, that's why I wanted you to say you to pronounce it, because I knew you would know better.
I felt like what they saw was what they were looking for, and it was incorrect, because when you ram two protons into each other at near light speed and create an explosion, you're not going to make another particle. You're going to rip the fabric of the dimensions, right?
Right.
That makes sense. They saw as the decay of a particle. They didn't see a particle. What they said was they saw data that indicated the disappearance of a particle, the decay of a particle.
The explosion of it, right? Right? Is that what you mean, the decay? Or you mean just annihilated?
The explosion. So the Higgs boson, which they said was there because they saw in the data what they saw as a decay of a particle. So the Higgs boson is said to not have any mass, but yet give mass to others. You know, it sounds like Catholic to me.
Yeah, so, deep stuff. Yeah.
So being a good Catholic, no, I've never been Catholic. In that understanding, I questioned the TA, is it possible that that wasn't a decay, that they misread the data, and that was actually a rip in the fabric between dimensions that was self-repairing? I got a deer in the headlights look.
Really?
My sense is that's more correct than what they, because they were looking through a particular lens. And if you're looking through a lens, that's all you're going to see.
Going on the topic that we're
the energy is
about,
making things move.
It just makes it like
the screen flickers. It's walking up. It's really. You've been told what? That you have that power?
I've been told that I have some strange energy, and yes, I know it affects things.
And Carrie will tell you we have those problems a lot in the show in some of these conversations, right, Carrie? my executive producer. I'm watching my even out of the talking.
I'm just the guy with a big heart. All I want to do is love and be loved.
Right. And that I want to close on that when we get there.
Other races want.
Everybody, so I said early on, Zen, we all believe that when we go to bed at night, but then we come out and put a facade up and have to do all this nonsense. Why can't we just think like you're thinking like we all do when we go home? At least you're open and saying it.
That's a discipline. Most people are lazy. They cannot discipline themselves. They don't want to. They want to be led around by either a cattle prod or a hook. And believe it's okay because someone else said it is.
Someone else said it's okay. Yeah. Right into my next segment for you. Planetary consciousness threshold. Perfect timing. So Zen, your work talks about becoming a planetary citizen, which I really agree. Being aware, integrated. I like it. I love it. Cooperating across all kinds of boundaries, like we were saying, of biology.
Process.
And belief. I'm sorry, it was a delay. I heard some of the process, right? And a belief. So we're heading towards like open contact, clearly. So what kind of inner shift do we, all of us, need to have to survive that as it's kind of about to maybe implode? What do you think?
Well, they're not going to do it until we're prepared for it. We're not. We're still scared shitless of each other. If we're scared of each other, how are we going to respond to some race that shows up that have forms that we can't even imagine yet?
Right.
Right. This is just basic psychology. We're not ready.
I feel like each year, I feel like we're getting closer and closer because nowadays with the technology and what we're exposed to, it's like a New Yorker. Something crazy happens there. It's like, okay, that's just another day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good point. That's a good point.
So in this process, there's a tremendous amount of distraction. Mm-hmm. That's what you were just talking about. The disciplined focus. The unequivocal release of your own belief system, because it's proven not to work, because it's tied in with everybody else's and it ain't working, right? So we need an emergent new truth that's universal.
Right. And that obviously that crosses with religions across all the boards, because they want to play ball on that.
Here's the universality, simply to love and be loved. We don't know how to do that.
I mean, the Bible says that across the board, right? And all the books say we're supposed to give love.
Every scripture, and I'm speaking ubiquitously, lead you to that place of interconnection, of loving and being loved, of being present, accountable, responsible, not just for your actions, but how you think.
Right.
Because how you think,
you're right about that,
will determine your perception. How you think and perception is determined by your perspective.
Ah, good point. Good point.
How so?
Yeah.
Let's say one of the examples I use is an oversized pencil with the beveled edges, right? The hexagram, right? Okay. Each one of those panels is a different color. Depending on where you are in the circle, you're going to see that pencil is a different color. It's the same pencil.
I totally get it.
Yes.
Man, you got me. I feel you, but it's so hard. You ever like get that where you know what you're saying?
Well,
you
this is where the brain locks up because it has so much crap that it's stored, all these belief systems, all these things that it thinks are true that aren't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where this disconnection, that's where this lockup occurs. This is where someone who has a direct experience of something turns around and denies it even happening.
And, you know, it's funny because I kind
of
said
the logic, what might have happened. Yeah,
I said that in the beginning, like the 3D and 2D. Mm-hmm. It's like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like the 3D, what you were just saying is the pencil. It's like the glasses. Depending on if you put the glasses on, the screen's going to be different. It's like the pencil on the sides and the color, right? Without those glasses, it's all blurry and you wonder what's going on. You put them glasses on, the screen's reaching through you. Right?
And your perspective is going to, you know, even just in human experience, your perspective as a ditch digger is going to be different than a perspective as of the CEO.
Right. Mm. They've got boots on the ground and the guy in the office. Right. Big difference. The guy has to do it. Right. Very, very true.
Because you have a larger scope of responsibility, first of all. Right. So you got to, as a servant leader, you're thinking about all the people in the organization, what you can do for them. Ditch digger, you're just concerned with getting the ditch dug so you can get paid.
Well, you could be the first guy and you could also be wondering how to stay in that position too, which I think is a lot of things we were talking about all along with
this. This is where we get into judgment and criticism of others. Which is only an example of where we are, of where our perspective is, right? And that we're using this difference as a ball bat to beat each other up with, right? Instead of looking at the diversity as part of this divine tapestry that we're all made for, right? There's this natural order that's been subjugated for millennia that now is coming back up for reference simply because of quantum physics showing that, oh yeah, the ancient texts were right. We are all energy. We do manifest according to how we think and believe.
It's funny. Somebody emailed me in for the show about spontaneous human combustion. I just got it the other day and I was reviewing it and I'm like, huh, interesting. And you just made me think of that. Because the energy, I know that like enough, we have enough energy in our body to turn on.
Right, right. So I've blown your mind. Is your head going to pop open soon?
Oh my God, man.
This is
amazing. I didn't even know what to say too before. But then I put the 3D glass on. I couldn't
that
figure out.
That rarely happens.
Yeah, it doesn't. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be braggadocious. Usually I'm pretty good to fire back. There's a huge delay. Carrie, am I good with that delay? Because I'm like seeing the screen is frozen in front of me. That was my segment. So. Take a minute and did you have anything extra you want to go? Now I want to give you a minute to close, and then I'm going to close out.
So far, I'm speechless. I'm still thinking of the last what you said, and it just blew my mind, to be honest.
Yeah. You have anything you want to add to that? Because I mean, you kind of went well above where I was going to go, and you got us thinking. So I want to hear what you're saying. Take 30 seconds on that because we are on a time slot.
So what I've learned from my experience throughout my life, from childhood into my adult life, is that there is a progression of intelligence that begins to appear. It's all designed from within. You know, it's like Lipton talks about the genetic code being able to change our DNA. Well, what happens is that as we raise our own vibratory level, depending on the discipline that we're able to engage and manage our thoughts and feelings and our activity, we naturally will raise that vibratory level, even just subtly. Now, along with the cosmic movement of our planet through space, we're in a different area that has a slightly different vibratory level as well. So that's a subtle effect that's going to trickle down through humanity because we're sensitive to that, even though we're not aware of it yet.
Right.
Physics is beginning to monitor and measure these kinds of things. They're starting to do the Kirlian photography used to do, only they're actually using some very highly sensitive measurement devices to demonstrate the electromagnetic field that the body emits. And so all of these things are showing that there's a natural system in place that we're now just discovering. And through that, it's demonstrating the truth of the interconnectedness that we have with each other, with our planet, with space, and with others in space who have come here to assist us in this process because they really want us to be successful.
I want to ask you a question, and I know, Carrie, let me know if I, well, we're going to have some, take some stuff out, but I want to drop this in and you feel free to answer it. You obviously know something more than we know. Take a minute and tell us if you want to tell us what you know about them, what you may do, have done, have seen, or whatever. Go for it.
Well, there's been a, you know, like Grant Cameron expresses, you know, he wrote a book 10 years after I gave him mine and included a lot of stuff in it. Again, progression of first contact. There's waves. It began in the 40s. It probably began earlier than that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, 30s probably, yeah.
Yeah, more pronounced in the 40s. And it's continued through that. There is open contact with some on a regular basis. And these messages that are being shared throughout all of these are pretty consistent in this knowledge that, yeah, we got to learn to get along with each other. And until we do, we're not going to progress as a civilization. This whole idea that we're separate from each other and we need boundaries and all that kind of stuff, that's not part of the natural world.
Now, is this government that's in communication, or are you thinking, I know there's other individuals, but what is the government's level of communication, you believe?
My indication is that it's not that great because they violated every contract they've signed.
You want to talk about any of them?
So, no.
That you're aware of?
Okay. Unnecessary. Because that stirs stuff up. I don't stir stuff up.
I hear you, man.
Exact opposite of what we need to do. If we're a bunch of shit stirrers, what are we going to do? We're going to be focused and our attention is going to be on the shit stirring. Why?
Right? Obviously, it redirects. Yeah.
Where we focus our attention, intention, and interaction is the most important discipline that we could ever learn.
Well, your book now and whatever places people can get involved in, your organizations that you're involved in, and whatever you want to plug in there, drop it in.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. First of all, again, Planetary Citizens, Awakening the Heart of Humanity. You'll love it. It's got great reviews on Amazon. You can check it out there. Make a choice for yourself. Puts globalism in a whole different perspective.
And when did this one come out?
This I published on March 27th of this year.
Oh, so it's fresh. Good, good. Fresh. And the folks that are watching on the TV, it's on the ticker. If you're listening on iHeart or anything, when the show archives and it goes into syndication to all the podcast platforms, that all the links will be in the description for that book. And also the Interplanetary website as well.
It's called Planetary Citizens.
That's what I meant. Yes, that's what I meant to say.
PlanetaryCitizens.net.
.net. Great.
Perfect. Now, that's the big vision. I do coaching and consulting still. That's BeTheDream.com. I've had that
be
business.
The dream. B-E the dream. Right?
BeTheDream. Everybody's got one. I can help you manifest it.
.com. Wonderful. Well, awesome. I thank you very much, Zen. So much. Really fascinating.
Pleasure.
We're going to talk because we're going to have you on another the other show, Zen. Did you have a final statement?
No, I just wanted to say it's been a pleasure for you to be on the show with us.
Who am I? Poof, man.
Great. I love the banner, you know, and even though it's the hostile zone, I didn't feel the hostility.
No, because you're not corrupt. You told the truth.
I don't know if it's truth or not. It's just my experience, and that's all right. I got to go.
I guess it's true for you if you've experienced it, and who are we to tell you otherwise, right, Zen? Thanks again for being here, Zen.
You know what,
that was a good
anyway. I wanted to give the audience, spread the love.
Spread the love. Very true. And this time we need it, really. Again, thanks for coming, Zen. So, folks, I got to tell you, what a show tonight. What a show. Mm-hmm. We didn't just talk about aliens.
No.
I mean, honestly.
We talked about life.
We talked about, we didn't just talk about aliens. We talked about, talk about architecture of the human experience.
Yeah.
Right? The architecture of the human experience. The architecture of your belief, my belief, and everybody who's listening's belief and watching, hopefully, and the secrecy, not just the secrecy of government, but the secrecy of our own mind, of what our mind is not telling us. Kind of like Zen and I were saying, as a child, you believe everything you see until somebody tells you otherwise.
Right.
But then your brain makes it a secret. Only you tell yourself, especially because you don't tell anybody else.
And then you're
fascinating.
You don't
stuff.
Feel true.
No, yeah, you don't feel true to yourself.
Yeah.
Zen was a great guest. What a great guest, folks. All of his information will be in the description and the links. Honestly, check him out. Amazing stuff. We're going to have him also on Unplugged, We're going to get into more depth on some additional stuff that I'm sure you would love to. Because you know what? If contact is real and consciousness is key, then what is the most dangerous cover-up? Isn't what's flying in the sky, what we're trained not to see. What we ignore, we become enslaved to, like he said. Mm-hmm. With the awakening comes truth. And I guess we're going to evolve. As always, the closing, 360, 365, 360 degrees, 180 forward, 180 backwards. Keep your head on a swivel. Pay attention 24/7 times 365 every day of the year. Because you know what? There's no press conference for danger. There's no awakening moment. It's happening all day, every day around you. You need to pay attention. Look deeper, think wider, live louder. And remember, the truth isn't what you think. It doesn't need permission, and tyranny will never silence the truth. Thank you, folks. We're not even going to get to the closing quote because we're running over time. Thank you, folks, for coming to the Hostile Zone. Eric A. Sinani and Miss Bianca C. S.E.A. Thank you very much for coming to the show. We thank our awesome guest, Zen. He was awesome. Check out the links. We're going to put more information out about his book and all his stuff. Check him out when he comes on Unplugged. We will be putting that information out when that interview is. Again, thank you very much, and check us out at the Hostile Zone. We'll see you next time.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting out, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there,
and she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner